lesson I am going to share with you tonight is something I developed when I was in Owensboro. I don't know when I developed it, maybe, I don't know, 5 years or so ago. But it came as a request from somebody there who said, you know, you have sermons for young people, you have sermons for other people, why don't you ever have sermons for older people? And he was requesting it, and I said, well, I never thought of that. So I put together a study of some different verses regarding growing old, and I found some things, and I have found out that whenever I have presented this with other to other people, that they have benefited from it as well. I'm not about to get up here and define who's old. I mean, you get to define that yourself. One man said he knew he was getting old when he bit into a steak and his teeth got stuck. So that's how he knew he was getting old, or when he realized that the old lady he was helping across the street was his wife. That's when he realized he was getting old. So I don't know what old is for you, but certainly there are some things that can become evident. But one of the things about the Word of God that I appreciate is the fact that God encourages us to reverence and show honor to those of age. Even under the old law, we see in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32 that you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. And so we see that God has wanted His people in times past to rise up and give honor and give recognize the dignity that is associated with growing older. In fact, it also says in Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. We must be people who have this same approach to age, that we honor it. And we honor those of old age. I remember I was flipping channel one time, and I came across a show where there was a young man who was with his friend, and his friend had the video camera. And they were videoing each other as they went around and pulled pranks on one of those boys' father. And there was a scene where the boy's father was sleeping, and the boy came in and started punching him in the face. And the other boy was recording this, and they were laughing because the man jumped up trying to defend himself, chased the boys, and they were getting a big kick out of that. But when I saw that, I'm sure you're like me. You just wanted to reach through the television and strangle people who have that kind of attitude toward their elders and that kind of attitude toward those, especially who were older and people of authority in the family. Well, that's what God is saying. That when we are looking at older age, we need to approach it with respect, and that we need to give honor to those who have lived here longer, and those, of course, who have age on us, experience and wisdom. And thinking about that, I'd like for us to consider for a few moments the Christian's attitude toward aging. That there is a way in which God wants us not only to approach the aging process, but there is also a way that God wants His people to treat those who are experiencing the aging process. Things that are very clear in His Word, and things that we can benefit from thinking of even this evening. And in talking about a subject like this, I hope that older Christians would realize how much it is a blessing to grow old. Now you might hear a statement like that and say, friend, you have no idea what you're talking about. That there are challenges associated with an aging body. And as one man, older Christian, told me, it's not for kids, but the things that a person has to go through regarding age. And I can consider and understand those challenges. But I would also encourage people to realize the Bible does say it is a blessing to have this privilege of growing old. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, that's what Solomon's saying when he talks about this very thing in verses 3 through 10. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, where he is encouraging people to realize it's a blessing because of the opportunities it gives you to experience people you love and to experience different things in life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, the Bible says in verse 3 that this is an evil that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now we pause there and we see what he's getting at. That he's talking about that you're all going to die. We all are going to die, even as we express tonight in our prayer. But he says that for living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. And so he's making the point that there are some advantages to living. That there are some advantages because if you have a lion and a dog, and both of them are competing for a piece of meat, who's going to win? Well, that's obvious. But what happens when the lion dies? Then who has the advantage? And that's the perspective he's giving here, that you may not be a lion, that you may not be, you might not have the presence in this world that you would want. But at least you're here, and at least you still have life, and at least you still have opportunity in life, is the thing we can understand from that. And continuing in verse 5, he says, for the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing in this world, is what he's saying. And they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. Friends, that's true. We have to understand that it's a privilege to grow old, because it permits us to share blessings with people we love. Okay. Another thing we can consider about this is that growing old is a blessing because it gives us experience. You know, there are certain things that you cannot do well for the Lord unless you have some age on you, unless you have some experience. If you look in Titus chapter 2, we see that growing older is good because of the experience it gives you and the wisdom you can gain from that. In Titus chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 3 beginning, that older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. One of the blessings that we can gather from this is that the longer you've been around, the more experience you have in living for God, and the more experience you have in making right decisions as a child of God. And that gives you opportunity to share that with other people with less experience. And that's what we see here, that an older woman is capable of taking aside a younger woman and showing her how to live for God. If you've ever gone to the Mammoth Cave, on one of the tours of Mammoth Cave, they make the point that when these caves were first visited by tourists many years ago, they relied on a particular slave to lead groups of people through different veins of the cave. And here were people who would literally put their life in the hands of the slave, because if you've ever been down there, you know that once the lights go out, you are literally helpless without some type of power supply. Well, they would follow this man around on these tours, and they were able to do this because this man knew the cave system like the back of his hand, and he was the one who had more experience than anyone else in the cave. And as a result, that gave him the knowledge he needed to show people how to get through it safely. Friends, listen, if you're an older person, you've been around the cave a while. You've been through some of these difficult decisions of life, and you've been through some of these different trials of life. And what God is saying here in Titus chapter 2 is that you older women are to take these younger Christian women by the hand and show them, look, here's how you navigate through this in life. Here's what you're supposed to be. But see, the point we need to realize is that you would not have that perspective without some age. That's what he's saying, that as a result of being an older woman and a godly woman, you have a perspective that's not always evident to those who are younger. That's a blessing. It's a blessing, as we see here, because it gives you more time and opportunity with people you love. It's a blessing because it gives you more experience. It's a blessing to grow old because, like I said, there are some things you cannot do for the Lord and service to God without some age on you. And I consider that from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 regarding men, that there are certain things men cannot do unless they get old. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it says that this is a faithful saying: if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. One translation has the presbytery, and that refers to a group of older men. Now, in order for you to serve as an elder, which I am confident you will have here one day, you have to be an older man. You have to be a man who is an elder. You have to be a person who has age on you. And as a result of that, can give you, of course, the qualification you need to serve God from this capacity. And that's just a fact. You know, there are certain things that an older person can say that has some weight to it because of his experience. There are things that, I can say through the years, or I have been able to say as a young preacher, that this doesn't carry the impact that an older preacher has when he says the very same things, and that's because of his experience. Well, see, friends, that's what we need to realize. It's a blessing. It beats the alternative, is what I was going to try and get at regarding Ecclesiastes 9. That at least you still have time and opportunity to enjoy your family. At least it gives you opportunity to gain an experience that can be used in service to God, and at least it gives you the opportunity to serve God in ways that you cannot when you're younger. So there are some blessings to growing old. But I also acknowledge that it has its challenges. I mean, it does present a person with problems that are not true among those who have a younger body. And Ecclesiastes also deals with that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. That Solomon makes the point that we need to enjoy our health while we have it, because given enough time, it's going to be taken from us. Everybody has to go through this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it says in verse 1, beginning, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low." Given enough time, your body is going to betray you. That's what he's getting at. That you're not going to think like you used to. You're not going to hear like you used to. The functions of your body are going to diminish, is the picture he is painting. And friends, we all know that's the case. And he's saying you need to enjoy your life before the difficult days come. You need to appreciate that. But the thing I think we ought to realize is that there are brethren and there are people who have difficult days. That growing old does present itself with challenges. I read once of a woman who was at home and she was drawing a bath for herself. She fell in the tub. And for some reason, she was able to turn off the water, but she remained in the tub, I think, for 3 or 4 days before someone could come and pick her up. And that happens. That there are people who experience things like that, where they're unable to protect themselves as they could when they had their strength. And that's going to happen. Everybody has to go through that. And as we can see in looking further in Ecclesiastes, that the mind begins to change and things begin to get difficult for people. Like my older Christian friend said, hey, growing old is not for kids. And I think he's right. I mean, this man is 87 and he has some great challenges in just functioning every day. But I appreciate him keeping his faith through it all. The mind does change. A woman was watching the news or television one day, and there's a report that came out saying breaking news, and it showed a footage of a car that was going down the wrong side of the interstate, and she knew that her husband was coming back from the doctor about that time, is going to be going down the interstate, so she called him on the phone and said, "Listen, you need to be careful there's an idiot going the wrong way on the road. He said, honey, there's not just one of them. There's hundreds of them going the wrong way. Okay, I may have touched a nerve with some people there. I apologize. But it's difficult, is what we can understand. But I also think it's good for brethren to realize that despite all these difficulties, if you have the power to choose and the power of sound mind, it is something that can be endured with faith in God. And that's what the Bible presents. If you look in Philemon verse 9, and at this time we know that Paul is an aged man, and he says this in Philemon verse 9, and he's in prison at this time. And he says in Philemon verse 9, for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, be in such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. What's so commendable about this is that Paul is not only facing the trials of persecution for Christianity, he's facing these trials as an old man. A time when most people deserve retirement, a time when most people deserve to spend the latter days of their life in travel, Paul's in prison suffering for the Lord. And it's commendable because you have a man who's still keeping his faith in his old age. In Luke chapter 2, the Bible also presents the picture of somebody who is to be commended because she kept her faith in God despite her age. In Luke chapter 2, the Bible says in verses 36 and 37 that there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. This is commendable, because you have a woman here who is still keeping her faith despite the challenges she had of a great age, it says right here. When we grow older, we have to understand everybody is going to face these challenges. It's not that you have failed. It's not that you have done something wrong to experience the problem Solomon presents in Ecclesiastes 12. Everybody's going through it. And everybody's going to experience these losses the longer they live in this human body. It's not a time for self-pity about how pitiful my life is and no one else understands what I'm going through. But friends, we have to understand, everybody's going to go through it. It's not a time for guilt and looking back saying, well, I wish I would have done this differently. I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have used my money differently. I wish I would have served God in different ways at a younger age. Friends, listen. We all have to understand that nobody gets to go back. I'm 38 years old and I wish I could go back and undo some of the things I've done. But as we see, that clock keeps going forward. Nobody's going back. And so the worst thing we can do as we advance in age is to live in guilt and to live in fear, especially regarding our relationship with God when we've done all we can to make things right with Him. I remember this older man, and he was in his 90s when I knew him. But every so often, he would have to meet with the elders, because he had such a hang-up over things he did when he was younger. And the elders tried to tell him, look, have you made it right? Yes. Have you repented of that? Yes. Have you confessed those sins? Yes. Well, that's what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, that when God's people repent of their sins, Acts 8:32, and then and confess those sins before God, 1 John 1:9, and we pray, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And this man, though he had heard that many times, still kept going back. And I don't know what he did. He didn't go into detail. I didn't need to know what he did. But he had something from his past that he regretted. And he was wallowing in guilt and fear as he approached the end of his life. And that's not the way God wants us to approach life. So guilt and fear and self-pity are not things that God would have us to do. Instead, as we see, he wants us to approach life the way Paul did and the way Anna did, and that these people had great faith despite their great age. I'll tell you one way he especially doesn't want us to approach it is by losing our faith in Him. I think this is probably the most disturbing story I've ever read regarding age. It's regarding an elderly couple, and it says that the 81-year-old lady had done her hair the day before, and her husband, who was 85, had collected the mail and paused to chat with the neighbor for a while. And inside their mobile home, they carefully laid out a navy blue blazer and a powdered blue dress. And after lunch, the couple drove to a rural corner of their home county in Florida and parked. And as the cows gazed in that August heat, the couple talked for a while. Then the man pulled out his gun, and he shot his wife of 60 years in her heart. And then he turned the gun on himself. Well, back at home, near the clothes that they had laid out to be buried in, the couple left this note for their children. And it said, "Dear children, this we know will be a terrible shock and embarrassment to you. But as we see it, it is the one solution to the problem of growing old. We greatly appreciate your willingness to take care of us. After being married for 60 years, it only makes sense for us to leave this world together because we love each other so much. Don't grieve, because we had a very good life and saw our two children turn into such fine persons. Love, mother and father." Now friends, is that the way God wants you to approach old age? Is that the way God wants us to respond to the problems that come in the flesh that Solomon says are coming? Of course not. He wants us to be people who keep our faith even when we meet other challenges with our faith, even if those challenges are coming from our body. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 and verse 31 that the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. There is no sadder sight in life than to see an older person who should have learned through many years of experience not to chase the world. But there are cases where you see older people who are still chasing the vanities of life. And that's a pitiful sight. And that's the point is being made in Proverbs 16 and verse 31, that the head of a silver head is a crown of glory if it's reflecting a person who is found in the way of righteousness. And so I encourage you that though even it is presenting itself with challenges, it is a situation where you can demonstrate faith in God, as Paul did and Anna did and many other faithful people of God have done through the years. And then I'll say this, good friends, regarding old age, that it's a responsibility. That it presents itself with challenges, yes, but it also presents itself with responsibilities. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, there are several people who are mentioned given responsibilities to the aged. One would be the aged themselves. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, the Bible teaches that you must not lose your faith, that you must not lose your confidence in God, and you must not let these trials in the body keep you from your faith in God. And I say that because that's what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse 5 beginning, that she who is really a widow and left alone, trust in God, and continues in supplications and prayers night and day, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Here we see that this scenario depicts somebody who walks with God and trusts God and is a person who has faith in God each and every day, unlike the person who trusts in their pleasure. And so that's what God's letting us know, that even though we are aged, He still expects us to have faith in Him. If we have sound mind, of course. But that's certainly a responsibility. Another responsibility to the aged is for their family. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4, it talks about how their family is to provide for them and care for them when needed. In verse 4, if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Notice it says to repay. That's how God wants you to see this. That you have been blessed by their care for you through life when you were in need, and now when they meet these challenges in life, you are to be there to help them when they need it. And when they are dependent on help, you're to be there to come to their aid. Does this mean you can't use the assistance of medical facilities or things like that? I don't think that's what it's saying. But it is saying you must do your part and use whatever power you have to care for and be there for your family as they age. And then, of course, the Bible says that there might be times when the church has to come through and help those who are aging. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, I've never seen this. I've never seen a case where aged or widows were helped from the treasury, but there might be a time when that is needed. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, "Honor widows who are willing widows." In verses 9 and 10, "Do not take a widow under 60 years old, or do not let a widow under 60 years old to be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work." There might come a time when a Christian woman has no family to provide for her, and we must do our part to do that. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 talks about widows who are being assisted by the daily distribution for the needy saints there at Jerusalem. And so, good friends, that's something that we might have to consider as we look at old age. When we consider growing old, let us realize it's a blessing. Hey, listen, you still have time to be with people you love. At least you get to see them. That's why I wear this tie. I wear this tie because it was my father-in-law. So I got a few things from him when he passed away. But I wear it every so often to remind me, listen, hey, I'm only here for a while. And one day this tie will likely be given to someone else. Someone else is going to own your stuff one day, is the point. And someone else is going to own your house. Someone else is going to own your property. Someone else might be wearing your clothes one day, because you are going to pass from this life. And so if you're still here and you're given opportunity to enjoy your family, consider it a blessing. That is a blessing. That's what Solomon's saying. Hey, listen, a living dog is better than a dead lion because of the opportunities and advantages it has. But at the same time, let's realize that growing old has its challenges, and we need to be mindful of that. But we must not lose our faith regarding these problems. And then, of course, we must realize that growing old has responsibility for everyone, for the ones experiencing it, for those who are witnessing it, and for those who are brethren who might be able to help them out. So I encourage you with these thoughts. If you're here and you're not a child of God, I did put it on this one. We hope that you would consider your brevity in life, that you're going to pass in this life, and that your only hope of life after this life is through somebody who defeated death. And the Bible says that Jesus can give us that eternal life because He has defeated death. And when God raised Him from the dead, it not only proves that Jesus has power over the grave, it also proves that we're accountable beyond the grave. And that's what He says in Acts 17 and verse 30, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead." Do you understand that? Do you believe that? Everybody in here is going to God. Everybody we see is going to give an account to God. Are you ready for that? And if you're not ready for that, I encourage you to realize that God has provided a way for you to be saved. It's through the gospel. That it is His power to save you, Romans 1:16. And the only way you're going to learn this is through His Word. So that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. In looking at this Word, we understand that salvation is given to those who have faith in Jesus Christ. That if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Acts 16 and verse 31. And we understand what that means, that we must be willing to repent, as we read just now in Acts 17 and verse 30. And we must be willing to confess Jesus' name before people, that we believe He is the Son of God. In Acts 8, when the eunuch was about to be baptized, he says, "What hinders me from being baptized? What, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized?" The Christian said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God." And so we must be willing to confess. And then, of course, we must be willing to be immersed in water for our sins, as the Bible teaches. In Romans 6, it teaches that you die to sin in repentance, you're buried with Christ in baptism, and you raised to walk in newness of life. If you haven't done that, we encourage you to do that tonight. If you have done that and departed, I encourage you to realize that God is willing to forgive. I understand what it takes to confess sin as a Christian. It takes humility, it takes honesty, but it takes faith to know that God will forgive us. You're subject to the Lord's invitation anyway. Please respond as we stand in